Bible reading this morning is from Job, the 20th chapter, starting with the 12th and going through the 20th. But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its worth, and it is not found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me, and the sea says, it is not in me. It cannot be bought for gold, and silver cannot be weighed as its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Gold and glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewels of fine gold. No mention be made of coral or of crystal. The price of wisdom is above pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. From where then does wisdom come, and where is the place of understanding?
So we're bringing our current series on answering questions raised in Job to a close with the lesson this morning. In our text, Job raises the question, where can wisdom be found? Now, in the text that Brother Jim read for us, Job made some important points about wisdom. He does three things, really, that I see. He affirms the surpassing value of wisdom. And then secondly, he points out that wisdom is not a commodity that can be purchased like other things that man wants or needs in the world. It's not something you just go to the store and buy or find in the marketplace. And finally, he asserts that the wisdom that he is contemplating does not come from man himself, or from the world in which man lives. Now, within the context of the book of Job, the way that fits is Job has experienced this misfortune and sickness and suffering. And in the early parts of the book of Job, we get exposed to his internal thinking about that and why is he suffering those things. We've talked about some of those in this series. And then he's had these exchanges with his friends concerning why he is in the situation that he is in. And his friends have certainly been of little or no help to him. They've not helped him in his suffering at all. So what I find in this passage is Job still asking the question, where can the wisdom that I need to deal with the things that I've had to deal with in my life, where can this be found? Now, in most of the lessons I've presented in this series, we've looked and said, well, the reason why Job didn't have the answer is because it's not revealed to us later. We looked at how the New Testament revealed the answer to Job's problems. But this is a little different because in this passage that Brother Jim read for us, we find that Job begins to answer his own question. And I think, again, to make sure we understand where this is in the book of Job, this passage occurs before God interposes himself in the exchange with Job. As we get to the end of the book of Job, what we find is God interrupts the discourses that Job has been having with his friends, and he asks Job a series of questions that leads Job ultimately to full understanding of the situation. And it's one of the great values of studying the book of Job is getting to that inner exchange between God and Job. But this passage actually occurs before that happens. And so what conclusion I come to on that is that through his internal questioning of himself, and even in the exchange with his friends, who generally are way off base, but you know, if we think sometimes when we get in exchanges with people and they're way off base, that has absolutely no value, that's not true. Job, in dealing with his friends and some of the things they said that he rejected, still had to ponder those things to answer them. And so what I see here is that through that part of the process, Job doesn't fully have the answer yet, but he is headed in the right direction, and he's coming to some conclusions that are the right conclusions about this question about where do you find wisdom. And so we find Job actually answering that in the passage that follows the one that I had Brother Jim read. In Job 28 and verse 23, Job says, God understands its way, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth, and he sees everything under the heavens. When he imparted weight to the wind and meted out the waters by measure, when he set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt, then he saw it and declared it and established it and also searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and depart from evil is understanding. And so Job, thinking about the various thoughts he's had during this process and looking at the world in which he lives, he is recognizing God's power that is displayed to him in nature. And he has contemplated that, and he comes to a couple of conclusions. The wisdom that he needs, first of all, he comes to understand God is the one who possesses it. Job 28, 23, God understands its way. God knows its place. So the wisdom that he is seeking, he says it resides with God. And he concludes based upon that, that is, God is the place that he has to look if he's going to find that wisdom. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And depart from evil is understanding. Now, the thing that I would point out, because in generally in these studies we've looked to other places, particularly in the New Testament, to see the answer to Job's question, and the thing that I would point out about that is that answer is found throughout all inspired Scripture. If you go to the Old Testament and you go to the wisdom literature, the book of Job is one of the books of wisdom literature, but of course there's several others. And so we go to the wisdom literature and we find passages like this, Psalm 111 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Or Psalm 15 and verse 33, the fear of the Lord is instruction for wisdom. And then Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 26, for to a person who is good in his sight, he has given wisdom and knowledge and joy, while to the sinner he has given the task of gathering and collecting so that he may give to the one who is good in God's sight. This too is a vanity and striving after wind. In all of these passages in the wisdom literature, it says that God is the source. Start with your fear and your respect for God, and that is how you will come to have wisdom. But also in the Old Testament, it is even included in what we call the historical books. When we look at the historical books of the Old Testament, we look at a narrative that tells the history of God's dealing with his people in the patriarchal age and in the Mosaical age during the kingdom of Israel. And yet we find that this subject is not neglected there. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 and 30, actually describing David's son Solomon, it says, now God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind like the sand that is on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. We understand the story of Solomon's wisdom, and here the inspired writer says, well, God gave Solomon all that wisdom. God is the source of the wisdom that he had. And then when you move to the prophets, you have similar affirmations. Isaiah 33 and verse 6, Isaiah says that he will be the stability of your times, a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. So it begins with God. And that respect for God begins to open up the true source of wisdom. And then we've just been on our Wednesday night class studying in the early part of the book of Daniel. So this passage from Daniel 2 would be familiar. He said, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever." This is after God gives him the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the statue with the head of gold and the body of silver and so forth. He says, "For wisdom and power belong to him," belong to God. "It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men, knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter." So Daniel said, "My wisdom was given to me by God." And of course, we understand that the New Testament says the very same thing about wisdom. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, Paul says, he's praying now for the Ephesians, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him." May God give you the wisdom. And James 1 and verse 5 says that if any man of any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So wisdom is granted to us by God as a result of our prayers, that he gives it to us, the measure that we are able to use it. And so the answer of where can wisdom be found throughout the entire scriptures is you find true wisdom with God. He is the source of all true wisdom. So that would lead us, as far as this lesson is concerned, to ask this question. Well then, if God is the source of wisdom, what is required of man concerning this quest for wisdom? And I would point out, I think there are three things that the scriptures point out to us that is required by God of us in order for him to give us wisdom as we would request it. The first of these is he requires of us the right kind of heart. Again, looking at the Psalms, Moses' Psalm, Psalm 90, in verse 12, Moses says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." We have to have the kind of heart that says we want to ask God for wisdom so that we can be the kind of people he wants us to be. That our hearts will be right with him. In Psalm 51 and verse 6, David says, "Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden parts you will make me know wisdom." And so God wants it to be a part of us, the innermost part of us, what makes us who we are, that we desire to know what he wants us to know and how to apply what he wants us to know. So the first thing he requires of us, if we are going to ask wisdom of him, and he is going to grant that blessing to us, is that we approach him with the right kind of heart. The second thing, I believe, is that we have a desire to truly find wisdom. You know, man can ask for things, and particularly things of knowledge or wisdom, with more than one motive or more than one heart. In experience as a preacher and as an elder, you learn that some people ask you a question wanting you to tell them that what they want to do is all right. In other words, they have their mind already made up, and their reason for asking the question is to get somebody else to say, well, that's okay. Yeah, let's do that. But God says, I want you to ask of wisdom for me because you have a real desire for wisdom. You really want to know what it is that I want you to know. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, Solomon exhorts his son. He says, you acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. So what is Solomon saying there? He says, you have to have a desire to get wisdom because you're going to apply it and use it. You don't decide what you want to do and then ask somebody else to confirm it or try to find a passage that you can use to say, well, this is okay. If you truly want God's wisdom, you're wanting to find it so that you can apply it and make the things in your life change that need to change so that you would be the type of person that you ought to be. And then finally, he says, the book says that we need to have an appreciation for the value of wisdom. In Proverbs 19 and verse 8, Solomon says, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. The value of true wisdom acquired with the right motives for the purpose of making the correct application is that it is what will do your soul good. It is what really benefits you, and you understand and value the benefit that comes from that. Probably the most familiar passage in Proverbs about the value of wisdom is Proverbs 23:23. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. Solomon says it's the thing you need to pursue. You need to, at whatever cost, you need to get it. And once you get it, you need to keep it and use it. That's how valuable it is. In the New Testament, James says in James 3, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then it's peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, and without hypocrisy. We need to appreciate that the wisdom from God is the purest form of wisdom that there is. It is not tainted by worldly desire. It's not tainted by sin. It is tainted by God's love for us. It's manufactured. It possesses God's love for us. And that is why it has the attributes that it has. And so, where do you get wisdom? Job says you get it from God. And may each one of us appreciate the value of God's wisdom in our lives. And so this concludes this series that I've been doing for several weeks now on these questions that are raised in the book of Job that we get the answers for other places in Scripture. So where we're going with this next is we're about to enter our Bible study on the book of Isaiah, and as you will know when we see, I will not get it finished this morning, so we won't get all the way through the 66th chapter this morning. So for the times that I'm scheduled next month to do this talk, I will finish whatever we don't get finished in the book of Isaiah in sermon form in these early lessons. And then after that, I've had questions submitted, And it'll either be at the end of January or the 1st of February that I will actually get into those questions. And then after that, I'll start another series for my section. So appreciate that. So Brother Cliff has the prayer, and after that, we'll get set up to do our Bible.